Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, July 31st. After President Trump banned transgender people from serving in the military, it's still unclear what that means for troops on the ground. Military leaders say the policy won't change until top Pentagon officials figure out how to implement it. For reaction to the president's transgender ban, we turn to Benta Berkland. She spoke to 41-year-old Emma Shin. She's a Colorado veteran and transgender woman who served in the Marine Corps for 20 years before retiring in 2014.
Talk about your service. You said you transitioned actually after you left.
That's correct. So the first half of my career was enlisted infantry. I was an infantry platoon sergeant in Fallujah, Iraq during Operation Phantom Fury. 7 weeks after I got back from Iraq, I was commissioned. And then the last half of my career was as a judge advocate or a military attorney on active duty.
How long was this process that you were thinking of transitioning?
The first memory that I have of my brain not matching my body, I have this vivid recollection of looking in the mirror and saying, that doesn't fit. Was it about 4 years old?
If there had not been a ban on transgender individuals serving in the military when you were there, would you have transitioned earlier?
That's a great question. I don't know. We can play the speculation game all day long. I did come out as queer post the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because I thought it was important for our leaders and our officers to lead by example. So Marines lead by example. So I would like to think that I would have transitioned.
Do you have friends who are in that situation now?
Yes, I do. Several friends are on active duty in the Marine Corps and in the other branches who've had a very actually positive experience in the past year. These are people who have either transitioned or in the process of transition, so they are openly trans on active duty.
What are folks thinking who are in this position right now of not knowing what's going to happen with their careers?
The predominant feeling initially was fear. Not being able to really have a firm grasp on what tomorrow is going to look like, what the next month is going to look like, and whether or not they have a career. That uncertainty bled into sadness, right, and disappointment that eventually morphed into being very resolute and determined to make sure that the public and their command know that they are the same serviceman or woman that was the day before, and they're going to do their job to the utmost of their ability. We're not the villain. We're not joining the military to pay for our surgery or doing anything to kind of try to subvert American society. We're wanting to contribute because we are Americans just like everyone else. We have the same hopes, the same dreams, the same desires, and the same reasons for serving our country with our uniform on.
You've heard the critics say, look, these are medical expenses we shouldn't be paying for. Do you think there's any merit in that argument? And I don't know if some of those folks actually, if that was a way to ban transgender individuals, or for some of them it really was just the medical costs.
The medical cost, even at the maximum estimate, when you look at the RAND study from 2016, is at $8.4 million per year. So when you compare that to other healthcare spending in the Department of Defense, it is an infinitesimal, minuscule amount. I think it's disappointing that President Trump would use Twitter, especially, to attack a vulnerable part of our community. There's a reason why policy decisions aren't released in 140 characters. There's a lot of research and thought that goes into this. It's not a knee-jerk reaction. What I can say is that I personally worked with General Mattis in Iraq, and I know that now Secretary Mattis is an incredibly thoughtful, diligent person who doesn't make knee-jerk reactions. His nickname was kind of the warrior monk. So I'm confident that at the end of the day, he is going to make a decision based off of a reasoned approach.
Even though you oppose Trump's ban, do you think it's opening up conversations in a good way?
I think that this discussion has serious positive ramifications because now we're engaging in those conversations and sharing the fact that we are just like every other American is going to have long-term positive benefits, not just for the trans community, but for our nation, because America is built on a very rich diversity.
That is Emma Shin. She's a 41-year-old transgender woman. She lives in Castle Rock and served in the Marine Corps for 20 years. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Protests to save the Affordable Care Act continued on Saturday in more than 100 cities across the U.S., including three in Colorado. Eric Gladys filed this story.
As the U.S. Senate continues its efforts to pass some version of a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, groups in Colorado are holding opposition rallies in Broomfield, Denver, and Longmont this Saturday. The events are part of a nationwide day of action called Our Lives on the Line, organized by a coalition that includes the group ADAPT, which advocates for people with disabilities. Josh Winkler with ADAPT in Denver says he hopes Congress will reconsider its plans to cut Medicaid, a program critical for people with disabilities.
If they are really pro-life, and really support what that means, not just babies, but support pro-life throughout the course of life, then they need to support the services for seniors and people with disabilities.
The rallies have more than 60 partner groups, including Organizing for America, the Women's March, the Tax March, the Science March, Planned Parenthood, plus multiple LGBTQ and environmental groups. Saturday's event in Denver takes place at 10 a.m. in City Park. Emma Shapiro, spokesperson for Our Lives on the Line, says the point of the rallies is to lift up the voices of people whose lives would be hurt by the repeal and those who have benefited from the ACA. She says rallies are planned in 125 cities in almost 40 states.
It has never been more important to show our leaders that we're going to hold them accountable if they vote to take away health care from millions of working families. We will be out across the country and we will be loud. Our families will not give up our health care to give tax cuts to the wealthy.
On Wednesday, Governor John Hickenlooper joined a bipartisan group of 10 governors in sending a letter urging senators to reject the so-called skinny repeal bill, which they say would disrupt the individual insurance market, increase premiums, and result in millions losing coverage. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, in news from Montrose, the Montrose Daily Press is reporting that area lawyer Marty Whitmore will take over as Montrose County Attorney on August 10th. Whitmore previously served as Ouray County Attorney and was one of two finalists for the position. Her resume includes work for Gail Norton, Secretary of the Interior under President George W. Bush and Senator John McCain. Whitmore also served as Chief Deputy Attorney General for the state of Colorado, in addition to her 5+ years serving Ouray. Whitmore will work with Assistant County Attorney Carolyn Clausen, who is the acting attorney now. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.